Guys Five Movies. I'm your host, Chris Gasper.
This is Frank Pellicone.
You are listening to episode 114 of The Spin Chagrin, and last week's category was You Just Shove It in Your Fat Fucking Face.
Yeah. So,
I cannot predict. I've been trying and no idea. So what did you come up with for You Just Shove It in Your Fat Fucking Face?
So, obviously, this is a journey. I thought about it for a while, and my initial thought was, what do you shove in your fat fucking face, right? Because it's usually like food.
Right.
But for instance, you know, I think there's other things. So we'll get to that later. I'm going to start with the movie that was the biggest miss of the adventure, in the sense that I thought there would be somebody shoving something in their fat fucking face, and then it didn't happen. It was very disappointing. So the first movie that I chose is a 1972 Spanish horror movie called The Cannibal Man. And I thought, hey, like, this will have some guy eating people. Mm-hmm. And the thumbnail is a guy with, like, a hatchet raised above his head. So I'm like, cool. Like, he's gonna shove some people parts in his fat fucking face. Like, that'll be right on theme. Let me tell you how disappointing the Cannibal Man was. Because the Cannibal Man, he don't cannibalize nobody. Like, there's not a single instance of him eating a person. And actually, he goes to a restaurant a bunch of times, and he's never hungry. And all he's doing is drinking beer. So I guess maybe he's shoving beer in his face. Not that his face is necessarily fat, but it's really annoying. So, brief description of the plot. This guy, Marcos, is just, like, a giant asshole. And he's getting married to this, like, much younger woman. And they're on a date, and they're making out in this cab. And the cab driver is like, hey, do you mind not, like, having sex in my cab? Because I don't really appreciate that. And Marcos is like, I'm a fuck in your cab if I want. And the cab driver's like, I think you just need to get out. And then they get in a fight, and Marcos kills him. And then him and his girlfriend run away. So he's like, hey, how do you feel about just not ever telling anybody that we killed that dude? You know, because I don't want to get in trouble. And she's like, I really think we should tell the police. And he's like, yeah, I'm not down with that. So then he kills her. So then he lives with his brother. So his brother comes home. And his brother's like, bro, can I go in my bedroom? Because that's where Marcos hid his girlfriend. And he's like, nah, you probably shouldn't go in there. And he's like, nah, I think I'm going to go in my own bedroom, weirdo. And then the girl's dead, so then Marcos kills his brother. So then Marcos' brother's girlfriend comes over, and she's like, hey, where's my boyfriend? And he's like, oh, he's not here. And she's like, oh, is he hiding in the bedroom? And he's like, maybe you should go find out, because that's where he stores all the bodies, in the bedroom.
Mm.
So then, of course, he kills her. So then her father comes over. So then he's like, anyway, he just kills everybody. And in the end, he doesn't eat them. Right. So very, very misleading. Like, the title is a misnomer. Like, there is no Cannibal Man in this movie. There's just, like, really rash decision man who feels like every problem is solved with murdering someone.
Oh,
and then just, like, not even disposing of their body in the outset, just like kind of leaving him in his house, like not even taking him to another person's house, or like dumping him in a ditch, like, yeah, you know, whatever, like, I'd just leave him there. And he's not even like, he's very nonplussed about it, let's say.
So. It also sounds you were nonplussed as well.
I don't know, it was a terrible movie. I was expecting some kind of really awesome, like, early 70s, like, giallo movie with, like, a bunch of, like, crazy, I don't know.
Sure. The cover looks very giallo-esque.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, you think. And there's going to be all kinds of psychobabble as to why this sex pervert's, like, eating people. But it's just, you know, really bad decisions. That's the only answer. So that's Cannibal Man. I'm going to give it a NR for score, because I don't think you can rate it, since it doesn't necessarily meet the chagrin.
So I quickly... I had looked this up at some point today, because this is the only movie that I knew, because you kind of mentioned it last night, but very briefly. But they scientifically, do you know how many calories a human body is worth by any chance?
If you eat the entire human body?
Yeah, cooked. Yeah.
Does that include like the offal and the organs and
yes.
everything?
Yeah.
God, I don't know. 80,000.
Good job.
What good is job. It?
81.5. Oh. Yeah, that's a little too close, maybe?
That's suspect.
Hold on, let's say, hold on. Let's try to disprove this. How much do you think the heart by itself is?
6,000 calories.
No, okay. So you're cross off the list. Maybe you just don't like hearts. I mean, it's seven. Like, heart is only 722 calories.
That's lean.
Yeah. That's lunch.
I was thinking the heart's got all kinds of like muscle and connective tissue and stuff. So if you like fried it up, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I guess there's no. Well, it depends on whose heart it is because it might be all fatty heart. You know, maybe sure. it's some like. Anyway, let's move on.
All right.
So my next movie in the Journey was actually the best movie out of the four that I watched for this podcast. So I was thinking, what else do you shove in your fat fucking face? And you could shove a fist in somebody's fat fucking face, right?
Mm, that's true.
So the next movie we're going to talk about is 2024's The Beekeeper, directed by David Ayer. Starring Jason Statham, Felicia Rashad in like a brief role, Gemma Redgrave, Jeremy Irons. This is a movie that like I was really, I don't know if excited to see, but I really wanted to see it because like I'm a big fan of. So my wife is super into action movies. Like she loves action, and she particularly loves really mindless popcorn action where it's just like a very basic premise and some people are going to beat the shit out of each other and then the movie ends. And that's what's happening here. So the premise is that Statham is a literal beekeeper for this woman who lives on a farm. This is a Felicia Rashad character. She's a retired teacher who also manages charity. She gets scammed by a disreputable call center that basically steals all of her money, including all the money of the charity, and as a result she kills herself. So her daughter is in the FBI. Statham like finds the body and he's a suspect initially, but then he gets whatever like cleared because they find that he had no gunpowder residue and shit, the gun had been registered anyway, whatever. So it turns out that Jason Statham is a there's this, I don't know what the word you want to use is, fictional agency called the Beekeepers, which are like the Impossible Mission Force, maybe, sort of, or I don't know.
Okay.
Like some shadow agency of people that are highly trained killers that are above the law, and their whole job is to root out like threats to society. So, I mean, obviously, like bilking the elderly out of their life savings is a threat to society, kind of, and he's retired, Statham, so he can just do whatever he wants. So he then proceeds to spend 90 minutes brutally murdering everyone, ever. And it's pretty fucking entertaining. Like, there's some really good kills in it. He does punch a lot of people in the mouth, so I felt like it was justified to the topic because he's shoving it in their fucking face, their fat fucking faces in some cases. One of the couple of people he beats to death are fat. In the past, like, 2 or 3 years, I've become really enamored with the lowbrow, no-thought action movie. Like, they're just... This podcast, I think, is what's done it, honestly. Like, there's just something cathartic about sitting there for, you know, 80 to 90 minutes and just watching people beat the shit out of each other. And I don't know how sustainable it is, but it's been around for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now, where the premise of these movies is there's a guy who's basically the best murderer that's ever lived, but like you kind of like him because he's a decent dude aside from the murder.
Right.
And he just goes around and murders everybody, and you cheer for him to murder people. And increasingly, there's no real risk or like difficulty. Like, typically, the good guy in the old days, the good guy would like plow through everyone, and as he was like dying, he would take out the bad guy, and that would be like the noble sacrifice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be like your character would be this guy who was the toughest guy, but the numbers just overwhelmingly like took him out, but he was still able to get the job done. And increasingly over the past like several years, the end result is just like, you know, he gets hurt a little bit, like maybe somebody gets a couple of punches in, but mostly he's just murdered everyone and he gets to walk away from it. And that's what happens here. Like Statham, the plot itself is ridiculous. Like the guy that runs these call centers is the son of the president of the United States and had used like this ill-gotten cash to get his mother, the president's lady, get his mother elected. And she didn't know about it. So there's this whole plot point where it's like, sometimes the beekeeper has to kill the queen if the queen is producing like bad offspring. So you think the entire time he's going to murder the president, but they just kind of like let that go. So yeah, I don't know.
What a bizarre. Okay.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a really weird premise. And it's not even a series of like escalating acts, because he starts out by blowing up the call center and like murdering a bunch of people, and then like murdering the guy that was in charge of the call center, and then just murdering everyone. Like, okay, at one point they introduced this thing like, oh, we're going to send the current beekeeper after him. That's the only chance we have of taking him out. And I swear to Christ, he kills the current beekeeper in like 15 seconds. It's like not even like any trouble. He just does it and doesn't even break stride. And then they're like, yeah, the beekeepers have said that we're not going to fuck with him, so you're on your own. Jeremy Irons is like the head of security of the president's, he's the head of security for the company that the son owns at the behest of the president, because he used to work for the president. So
this movie just kind of just does away with narrative arc, like escalating like conflict and stuff like that. Like, just,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of there, because the whole premise is that they pretend like it exists, because they're trying to say that, well, the daughter of the woman that got murdered, Veronica's her name or something like that. Verona, like where we fair set our scene or whatever.
That made it make sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I'm here for. She's conflicted, because does she want revenge to happen to the person who killed her mother or caused her mother to lose her life savings and commit suicide, or does she need to follow the law? And the end result is, yeah, you just kind of like let it go, right? Like, it's justified death, it's fine. But sometimes you need some mindless shit like that, you know? Like, I don't know. It went by really fast. It had some really great action sequences. Statham is exactly that role, and only that role, like where he like excels. So, you know, I don't know, whatever, I was fine with it. Like, it was pretty low chagrin for me,
mm-hmm,
in the end. So,
all right,
I wouldn't like, it was on sale. I rented it for like $5. Mm-hmm. They had like a sale on certain movies this weekend. It's the only reason why I chose to rent, because it's been like $20 for whatever the month and a half that it's been available to rent.
It's like, but we talked about Roadhouse last week. It was enjoyable. Like, you know, you don't have to think much about it, you know?
Right. Roadhouse has more. Roadhouse is a far more nuanced affair than this movie, if that tells you anything. After watching
it, Roadhouse tells me a lot, yeah. Huh.
Yeah. So, but I mean, like, whatever. When you have the chance to watch it for free on some streaming network,
mm-hmm,
it'll be on Max, I'm sure. Just watch it, because you'll enjoy it.
All right.
So,
David Ayer directed this. That is a mixed filmography with David Ayer.
So now we're going to descend into Avernus or whatever, like through the nine hells, into the next movie, which is worse than this movie, but not quite the worst movie I watched, but almost. So the next movie. So, all right. So I'm thinking, what else can you cram in your fat fucking face, right? And I'm thinking, you know what? Zombies, they cram people in their fat fucking faces. So maybe I'll watch a zombie movie.
Yes.
So I texted you guys last night that I was looking in the list of zombie films on Wikipedia, and I've seen 162 of the films Wikipedia has listed as zombie films. I didn't count how many there were in total.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the ones I had not seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that it had stayed that way. So this movie, Zombie Night is what it's called, which surprising that there is not another Zombie Night previous to this. Like, I was really surprised that it took them till 2013 to come up with this title for a movie. Although there's plenty of things that kind of like run alongside, like Night of the Zombies, whatever. Anyway. The reason I picked this movie was because it stars Anthony Michael Hall, Daryl Hannah, Alan Ruck, Shirley Jones. Like, there's like a legitimate cast in this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, like, if there's these people who are, mind you, like B-list actors at this point in time, but still like real actors, like, it's got to be good. And right. I was so fucking wrong. So, first of all, I have, and again, 162 zombie movies by my count, which I also believe is moderately conservative because I was just kind of like scrolling through really fast.
Right.
I have never seen a more boring zombie movie in my life. And not only boring, but just like absolutely bringing nothing to the table in regards to like the zombie genre. Like, not even good gore, not even good makeup effects. None of it made any. It's the most banal, disposable. Like, if you've seen Thriller, you've seen a better zombie movie than watching Zombie Night, I guess, in the 5 minutes of the extended Thriller video or whatever.
Okay. Yes, tell me the premise first.
Is that it's a zombie apocalypse, man. Like, sure. You know, there's zombies. And right. Anthony Michael Hall is driving his daughter and his daughter's friend home, and the zombie apocalypse breaks out, and they got to make it somewhere. Like, they're going somewhere. So, of course, they're driving past a graveyard when this happens. Why is it? Here's a fucking pet peeve of mine. Why is it that who is getting buried in like a hoodie and sweatpants or a cocktail dress or like, you know, their business casual? You know what I mean? Like, you ain't buried in that shit. Like, all these people that are digging out of the ground. Like, that's the thing that when like Night of the Living Dead.
Or did somebody come out with a hoodie out of the grave?
Yeah, they're just walking around with a hoodie. Like, this is early on. They ain't even been.
Maybe
like,
it was his favorite outfit.
Oh, man. I don't know. Whatever.
Maybe they want to see him put in the ground as they remember him in life rather than suddenly because he didn't wear suits and they didn't want to put him in a suit. And
You're fucking grasping here. And that ain't what happened. What happened is they went and hired a bunch of actors for like $15 each. And they were like, yeah, you don't need to change. You're fine. Just come on.
I mean, that is probably the
stare blankly off
shoot reason. Like, sure.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you can kayfabe it. Like, I mean,
look,
like,
it's even worse. It gets even worse. So just like, we can get beyond that. In Night of the Living Dead, if you read about like their mindset in making those movies, that movie, Romero and what's his name? The guy that plays the father in the house is one of the producers, Russo. Mm-hmm. They were like, we need to dress people like they would be dressed if they had just died. So sure. Not necessarily people that have been buried for a long time, but like there's somebody wearing like a hospital, whatever those things are called, like onesie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a naked woman because she was getting autopsied. And there's, you know, like a guy wearing a suit because he had just been buried. Mm-hmm. All those things like make sense, right? Anyway, right. Whatever. That's a movie that has thought and purpose and a premise to it, and not this piece of shit.
Sure. Let me tell you, my pet peeve out of what you said so far is the idea that they even have to drive by a graveyard. Because everybody has to be fucking obsessed with Night of the Living Dead and try to like pay like homage to like, you know, the fucking Night of the Living Dead. And it's like, let's move past that. Let's do something different. Let's not include a graveyard in your
There's the graveyard. And then the dad and the daughter. So the daughter's friend, they just abandon, and she ends up getting killed by zombies. She falls in an open grave. Fucking idiot. Like, I don't know how she didn't see the open grave because she's running, but it's there and she falls in. The zombies eat her. They cram her in their fat fucking faces. So they're hiding in a woodshed, and that's like off to the side. I guess it's like the groundskeeper shack or whatever.
Are these slow zombies or fast zombies, by the way, so I can visualize?
I don't know. They're like moving however the plot needs them to move, zombies. Like sometimes they're kind of like got some hustle, and sometimes they're sort of just like shuffling along, but every once in a while, like when they need them to be fast, they'll be like running. They're also like, I guess, partially intelligent zombies in some ways, because they can like listen and reason, and I don't know, that part doesn't make any sense either. Anyway, so it's just your standard zombie movie. So here's the two things that are terrible about it. The first thing that's terrible about it is Daryl Hannah plays a character named Birdie, and that's her name, and I don't think it's a nickname. I think it's legitimately her name.
Mm-hmm.
She lives with her mother, who is blind. Mm-hmm. And her mother, until her mother dies, she doesn't even die from like getting bit by a zombie. She just gets like scared and dies or whatever. I don't know. Until she dies, she spends the whole movie going, "Birdie, Birdie, what's going on, Birdie?" And I realize I hate blind people, especially in the context of movies, because they make no sense. Like, this stupid bitch knows that there's a zombie apocalypse, and she's just screaming. Like, Daryl Hannah said, "Mom, shut the fuck up. Like, there's bad people outside. You don't want them to hear you. Is there someone in the house with us, Birdie?" Like, yeah, Mom, shut the fuck up. So, of course, eventually, oh my God, the mother dying is like the catalyst of this movie, and like they're the climax. It's exactly like what you need to see to make yourself feel better about life, is to see this old fucking woman die and then rise from the grave as a zombie, but be like the most ineffective zombie and get her face blown off. So that's
a point. Does she say Birdie when she's a zombie?
No. Nobody talks when there's a zombie.
Oh.
The other bad part is Alan Ruck, who is portrayed as like this paramilitary badass guy who's like protecting his family, but he's wearing a zip-up cardigan. So it kind of like undercuts the whole like badassness.
Mm-hmm.
He also makes really bad decisions and ends up getting his entire family eaten by zombies and turns into a zombie himself, at which point a like 16-year-old girl blows his head off. So in the end,
are these just like, are the main characters involved in any of these stories, or
they're kind of just like moving in between them, like they're trying to find each other and stuff.
Gotcha.
So in the end, they all go, and so at the end, it's Birdie, Anthony Michael Hall, the daughter, and this little boy who they kind of like adopt that are left alive. And in their infinite wisdom, they hole up in a mausoleum because that makes sense. And sure. The girl and the boy are hidden in a coffin because no one will ever find them in a coffin.
Okay.
And the worst part is that they just all of a sudden they say, hey, there's news reports out of Europe saying that if you just wait till the sun comes up, the zombies will start to stop attacking you. What? So then that becomes the plan. Let's just wait until the sun comes up. And the sun comes up and the zombies stop attacking them. And then somebody says, what happens when night comes again? But fortunately, you're never put in a situation where you have to like find that out. So,
yeah, the worst part of this is that you had to watch it.
Oh my God, yeah. And I couldn't stop. Like, once I started watching
this, this sounds atrocious.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's. It might be the worst zombie movie I've ever seen.
Damn.
And then I was thinking afterwards, I was like, man, I could watch like one of those fucking Night of the Living Dead sequels that Romero did in the early 2000s, like Survival of the Dead. I have seen Diary of the Dead.
Is that one of the first person? Like, or whatever, found footage?
Diary of the Dead is the found footage.
Okay, one. Yeah. That's really bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's not as bad as this. Yeah, man, I don't know. Like, it felt like a made-for-TV movie, but it wasn't. And, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer had better production value on zombies and monsters. Like, I've never seen worse production value. There's a character they introduced who's this, like, Hispanic police officer that knows Birdie's mom because she taught him English. And he just happens to answer the phone at the police station. Because, of course, this, like, beat cop is the one that's, like, taking dispatch. And he's going to go over and save Birdie's mom. But on the way, he sees a little girl and he gets out to help her. And a bunch of people try to steal his car. So he ends up, like, shooting one of the guys by accident. And then, oh, no, I'm sorry. A guy tries to steal his gun and he ends up wrestling. And they shoot the little girl by accident, who immediately pops up as a zombie. And then everybody's getting zombified by this little girl and he just runs away. And I swear there's like no point to it, like aside from just stretching out the movie another 6 or 7 minutes.
Sure.
None of those characters are ever brought up again, nor do they have any impact. Mm. And the guy just like flees the scene. So I guess it's just, yeah, I don't know.
You got to get to a certain runtime though. I mean, so it could be.
I mean, they could have cut 10 minutes out of the movie and I'd have been fine.
Oh, so this was a sci-fi. This was originally released on sci-fi. It was a sci-fi movie.
There's no, like, nudity or anything in it. So, yes, yeah, so this movie was very, very difficult to watch and not at all entertaining or pleasing in the least. This is a chagrin movie, I think.
Say that again.
Let me then tell you this. I then watched a worse movie than
that's
this.
Amazing.
And I don't know if it was really worse, but it definitely was terrible. And I enjoyed it less, which is saying something, because I enjoyed this movie at all. So I thought, what's another thing that you stuff in your fat fucking face, right? Mm-hmm. Like trying to live the journey here. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, like, well, food. Stuff food in your fat fucking face. Like, that's mm-hmm. probably the thing that you stuff in your fat fucking face the most. So I watched a Chinese animated movie called Kung Food, which is about anthropomorphic food items going on a quest and, like, doing Kung Fu and shit.
Let me tell you, Kung Food might be the greatest Ben Shigan category ever if it weren't a movie here.
Yeah. Well, we've already ruined that.
Right.
And well, there's sequels. Mm. So I legitimately could, like, just keep watching, like, Kung Fu.
All right. Tell me about
this. I've also never seen Sausage Party. So I could watch Sausage Party. I don't want to. Let's not set myself up.
Right. Yes. And This is kind of a premise that Letso and I came up with for a comic book in like seventh grade or something almost.
That there was like food fighters, like
yes, the toy line? Yes.
So yes. There is a toy line from when you were young. When I was young too, but I was out of like the realm of playing with toys mostly at this point. Even though I'm an adult and I still like collect and play with toys now. But for a period of time, I thought that I was better than that. So there's two toy lines. There's the Food Fighters and there's the Barnyard Commandos that are both like terrible, limited articulation action figures. And the Food Fighters are based on the idea that when you turn your back, like your food comes to life and fights each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, that was kind of like, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
This is not that premise. In this world, food is just people. And sometimes it's not food. Sometimes it's like animals that you eat for food, but they're not in their food state. They're just their animal state.
Okay.
And sometimes it's just food. But sometimes it's prepared food, and sometimes it's like just a vegetable. Or like there's fish. There's fishmen in this movie. And I guess it's because you eat fish, but they're not like cooked fish. They're like living fish. But then the hero of this movie is a bao, which is like a Chinese bun, like a steamed bun.
Okay.
And he's the hero, and they call him Super Bao. And then at one point they make the joke, because what they do is Super Bao, he's training at the monastery, and the head monk like just tells him that he's graduated and he's the chosen one because they're trying to get rid of him. And then after he leaves, they're like, yeah, now at least we won't have somebody eating all our food. And I'm thinking, what the fuck are you eating? Because you are food. Like, what is a food's food? Anyway, it raises a lot of like gray ethical questions.
I don't feel well listening to any of this.
You should go watch Kung Food. It's also like almost 2 hours long.
Holy shit.
So it's about this epic quest. There's some assassins. So there's a guy who's like the pirate king, and he's an octopus, and he's trying to find the five stones of flavor that represent like your five tastes. So it's like sweet, sour, spicy, salty, umami, or whatever. And if you have these five stones of power, of flavor, five stones of flavor, you control the world. And he's trying to find them, but Super Bao wants to find him. And the pasta princess, she wants to find him, and she is just literally made of linguine.
What? How is that, like, visualized?
I don't know. She's like a big noodle and then some smaller noodles for hair, and then she got noodly arms.
Okay.
And she's a bunch of noodles.
Okay.
Maybe she's not just linguine, but I thought it was linguine. Or angel hair, perhaps. So you go on this like quest, and then there's these assassins, and the assassins are salmon sushi, but they don't look like salmon sushi, except the one guy has salmon roe for his haircut. Him and there's two brothers, sushi brothers, and they're trying to stop Super Bao, and Super Bao really doesn't have like any abilities, but he gains like powers and kung fu-ish like abilities as he goes on. And it lasts forever, man. Like, there's just all kinds of things. And then they're in this place where all the, like, sometimes the landscape is, like, real. Like, it's, like, water and islands and stuff. But sometimes the landscape is, like, giant popcorn kernels and sandwiches and, like, stacks of pastry. Which, that doesn't make any sense. Because if food is people, then why is landscape food, you know? Like, does that just mean that it's, like, sentient, but you can't talk to it? Like, you're, like, digging into a person? Like, I don't know.
Right,
like,
right.
It's a very awkward premise that doesn't play out very well.
Uh-huh.
But in the end, of course, you know, Super Bao, he learns how to, like, fight for himself, and he saves the day, and they beat the bad guy, the giant octopus, and he befriends one of the salmon assassins, because then they learn the power of friendship. So I guess that's like a positive message, but I just think the Chinese are like crazy, and I don't know, like, because it's 100%. So all like a lot of the food and stuff is Asian food. So it's stuff mm-hmm. that you wouldn't necessarily like eat like, we're not eating like steam buns over here all the time, although they're delicious. Like, we don't really have that as a thing necessarily, at least not like it is. But I mean, it's like completely commonplace, you know, that this bow is like going around and I guess like talking to people and shit. I don't.
Yeah.
Did
you get hungry? Did anything make you hungry? Like, while you're
no,
watching?
It made me really sad. I really like, I was so angry at myself. I looked over at Frankie and I was like, I don't know why I did this. I'm not sure, like, I can do it. Like, I have to do it. And I almost like stopped and pretended like I didn't watch
right,
it.
Right, you don't have to do it. That's what's so funny.
No, I have to. If I start a chagrin movie, I gotta finish the chagrin movie.
But you could say, like, you know what? Like, I don't want to do this for the chagrin. I have other things that I've already done.
Oh no, no, I had to do it. I had to have food in there. What do you shove most in your fat fucking face? It's food. I had to do food. I wish I would have thought about Sausage Party. That at least probably would have made me laugh a couple times. Do you know Sausage Party?
I do not.
Sausage Party, I think it's Seth Rogen. It's a sex comedy about sausages that, like, talk.
Mm.
Like an animated sex comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But talking sausages, get it? Because they're, right, like penises.
Franco do a voice probably.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know if he was Me Too'd at the time, but
yeah, it's 2016, so not yet.
Yeah, but I forgot about it, and I watched fucking Kung Food.
Where was Kung Food at?
It's on Tubi.
Mm.
This fucking was on Tubi.
Tubi's what gets you.
Actually, everything was on Tubi except for Beekeeper, which I rented on Prime.
Right. So what did, so NR for Cannibal Man. So what are the chagrin scores on these things?
Beekeeper's like a 3. It's an entertaining movie and enjoyable. And it's, like I said, recently, like my kind of thing. Fucking Zombie Night is like it's an 8, but it's a soft 8 because it's bad and it's poorly made and it's not interesting and it's a complete waste of your time. But it's also mildly inoffensive in that way, you know? Like, it's just not good. Fucking Kung Fu, man, it's like a 9. I after talking about The Omen last week, I'm kind of, like, petered out in terms of, like, hate. But, man, did I fucking hate Kung Fu. And I just don't understand it. Like, the physics of the world, it doesn't make any sense. It would be like if you went outside and you were mowing your grass, but the grass was, like, some fucking fat guy that you had to, like, but he couldn't talk. It was just like flesh, and you were like mowing the hair, and like it, like blood would come out and stuff, but it would be okay because it's not like an actual person. It's just landscape person, you know. But then sometimes that same thing is like talking to you, and then you're also okay with that because you're like landscape. But you're sentient landscape, and that's just like fat, fleshy fucking blob landscape. And you gotta mow it, right? Like, you gotta climb it. And then sometimes, like, volcanoes erupt and they shoot out just like hot caramel. And then it, like, burns everybody, and, like, it burns your flesh, but it's, like, edible. You know, it's just like fucking. So instead, it's like fucking, like, ejaculate, like, shooting out of volcanoes. And it gets on, and you're just like, like, this is the thing the world does. Like, fucking fleshscape is, like, ejaculating all over me, but it's fine, because I happen to be, like, the talking flesh blob, not the fucking climbable flesh blob that's over here. Like, it's a terrible movie, and I don't know.
I can't write fast enough. I'm just gonna let Orion text things to me. Two, give me a brief compare contrast of caramel and ejaculate.
Well, I was just thinking of a thing that a food could shoot and a body could shoot, you know. I mean, it could be anything. But the way that I don't even remember if it's caramel. I was like horrified at this point. But something's shooting out of the mountains, and it makes, and then there's like popcorn kernels on the ground, and the hot ejaculate makes the popcorn kernels pop. And it almost kills them. Like, but it, they're food too. Like, everything is food. Except when things aren't food. Like, sometimes there's just trees and grass. But every once in a while, like, the hill is made out of fucking flan or something. Like, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, this isn't anger. This is exasperation. Different it's emotions. Making, different it's, feeling. It's
like, what are the Chinese doing? Like, what are they trying to teach their kids? I mean, maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's like, you're just disposable. Like, sometimes you get eaten and sometimes you're the person eaten. You know, sometimes you're going to be food for, like, the proletariat. And sometimes right. you're just the guy eating the fucking food.
Sometimes you are the proletariat.
80,000 calories, man, last year a week. No, who eats 80,000 calories a week? That's crazy.
Right, right. You got to freeze that shit.
Yeah. I ain't got room in the freezer for a whole person.
Legs are the way to go, by the way, if you want to, like, store some food. Not the arms.
It probably takes me 6 weeks to eat 80,000 calories, I would venture to say.
Well, yeah, I mean,
now especially because I'm probably not eating 2,000 calories a day.
Yeah, I'm not either. But it's like, so it's like, I mean, but let's just say like 2,000, like roughly, like, you know, I mean, so that's, you know, by 30, so it's like you're at 60,000 a month. So yeah, you're right. It'd be like 6 weeks, like roughly, even if it was, you know, if you're doing 2,000 a day. Yeah, as I mean. Bodies are just can sustain you, I guess, like for quite a while. Yeah.
Especially if you're climbing them, just eating them.
Right. Right. That sounds like some shit. At least the beekeeper sounded good.
The beekeeper was very enjoyable. I really enjoyed watching the beekeeper.
Yeah. that's some shit. Kung Fu is definitely some shit. Ours had like some kind of pun. Our story has some kind of pun about Pulp Fiction. I can't. It might have been Pulp Kitchen. I can't remember. But it was kind of like this, like more gangster thing, like about the food that comes to life in the fridge and shit like that, or just the kitchen in general. But a lot of it involved the fridge.
Did you guys feel some kind of way when I made my comic about the talking tomato?
No. Hmm. Did you want us to?
No, I didn't even know that you had an idea like that until just now.
I honestly don't remember. It's probably in my big box that's like has shit in it from like from childhood. But there's probably stop some papers. Up there. there's probably some papers related to it, but I don't remember the plot honestly. That much, but yeah. So no, I honestly like had like almost like repressed that memory until Kung Fu came up here. I don't even think I thought about that with your tomato comic.
I was looking at my tomato comic a couple weeks ago, and I really regret not doing more with it. I also never showed you the Texas Chainsaw Massacre one I did.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. That thing's crazy. For the reader's edification, I guess, or whatever, we had this idea that we were going to have a website that was comics. Me and Chris and friend of the podcast, Mike Bledsoe. And Chris and I had talked for a long time about doing a comic, like a Western comic. Mm-hmm. So we had started like drawing that. But also in the meantime, I was doing these like one sheets that were just kind of like a ripoff of Milk and Cheese. Not that anyone knows what Milk and Cheese is, but it was just a tomato. The comic was called I, comma, a Tomato. And it was about like this talking tomato, like going on adventures, but they always ended like poorly for him.
I think there's a couple people that might know what Milk and Cheese is.
Listen to this podcast?
Maybe. Possibly.
In any event, I really enjoyed my tomato comics, and I wish I would have kept going with them.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah, that's a shame. I still think about that Western comic. Like, it still like floats around in my head, like at times. Like, if I ever finish anything creatively, it'll be that someday. Like, but only the first part that we always talked about, like not the broader story that I created that I'll never end up getting to. but yeah. We got too many spin chagrins in podcasts to record.
It's true.
Which, by the way, since I never do this on the spin chagrin, next week, if you're interested, since it is like kind of like chagrin adjacent to some degree, next episode of the primary podcast will be us and from the podcaster Ryan Wellmaker watching No Holds Barred the Match the movie. Roughly 2.5 hour long podcast as we do a watch along together of No Holds Barred the movie, and then we go ahead and watch the match that was aired on that same pay-per-view. And then later this month, speaking of Mike Bledsoe, on the primary podcast, we'll be back talking about The Good and the Bad and the Ugly for a deep dive. And as always, the Saul journey never ends. So we will be back with movies 6 and 7 next month. And then also, I suppose it will also will be covering Spiral and Jigsaw. You know, that next month as well. So that's what's going on in the primary podcast. In the meantime, Frank, the spin chagrin never ends. Your chagrin is constant. So let's go ahead and see what it is that you are going to get for next week.
It's always so loud in my ears.
It's very loud.
The rough around the edges guy from Boston who doesn't have the best social graces but has a heart of gold. The category for next week is the rough around the edges guy from Boston who doesn't have the best social graces but has a heart of gold.
Was that from that Wahlberg movie?
Unknown.
I said to take a screenshot of that shit. It was way too much for me to remember.
I will text it to you. What?
Damn, what was that movie called?
It's not that movie.
Sully or Sully?
I know who that's referencing specifically.
What is?
It's referencing Adam Sandler. I think that was your characterization of most Adam Sandler movies, or characters, I should say. So. I mean, you do it to yourself, right? Now, like, text that to you.
I don't do anything to myself.
I mean, you do now.
Man.
Like, you're always being clever. You're always being a wordsmith. Like, and now that comes back on you. So, yes, the rough. I mean, it's a really funny description.
It's because I can't use other words.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler, yeah. Like, can't say drooling mongoloid or whatever. I was trying to be nice.
Man, you said that and I started typing in drooling mongoloid into Google. now I forget what I was going to look up because all I can think of is fucking drooling mongoloid. Oh, that's what it was. I don't remember why I heard this. Supposedly there is a Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore sequel, both in the works.
Like as one movie?
No. That would be actually amazing. But no, as two separate films.
I know what Adam Sandler movie I have to watch too. Oh my God, I've been putting it off forever.
Oh shit. I have no idea what that was. It feels like you probably would put off a lot of Sandler movies, so
nah, surprise.
yeah, Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison,
I have
and potentially Waterboy as well.
I have those sad, quiet moments that I have to fill with something, and you know. Sometimes it's Sandler movies.
Oh, you have anything you want to talk about? Let me delete rough around the edges guy from Boston here. Okay.
Do I have anything I want to talk about? Watched a couple of good movies recently.
Balances things out.
Yeah, that were surprising. Like, I wasn't expecting. The only one I can think of off the top. Oh, there's two. I watched a Korean horror movie called Midnight, which is about a serial killer stalking a deaf woman. That's very tense and actually kind of gave me chest pain a little bit, like, watching it. Like, it was very, very difficult to watch in terms of, like, I was very nervous watching it.
Okay.
So I'd recommend that. I don't know where it is, but I watched it somewhere. Tubi, maybe it's on. It's definitely on Tubi. And then Influencer, which is a thriller, like, suspense thriller that's on Shudder. It is not a horror movie, but definitely, like, has some horror elements in terms of, like, the tension and stuff. Yeah. I think the movie's really good.
Yeah, you had me watch it. It was good. Very enjoyable. Yeah, Midnight's everywhere, basically. So Peacock, Amazon, Tubi, Flex.
And watch it somewhere without commercials, because I was annoyed at having the commercials in it. But they do a really good job building the characters in it, to the point where when bad stuff starts to happen to people, it's very difficult to watch.
Mm.
So it's next to, like, I Saw the Devil and Memories of a Murder and The Cop, the Gangster, and the Devil, or whatever they call that, whatever that movie's called. Like, there's a bunch. And
Thief, Cook, Lover.
Well, that, not that. There's a bunch recently. The Chaser is really good. But this movie just, yeah, like, it's very tense, very uncomfortable. Really, like, rooting against the antagonist. Like, he's a very creepy, despicable person. It's worth watching.
Yeah.
An Influencer, I don't know why I think of it this way, but tonally it feels very much like Dead Calm to me.
Right.
Just in the way it made me feel watching it. So
yeah,
both those movies are worth watching. My mother wants me to recommend The Assassin to everyone, or to The Accountant to everyone.
The Accountant.
Is
this another one of these, the Beekeeper, the Baker type movies?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
This one with Ben Affleck.
Mm. He is a mathematics savant with more affinity for numbers than people. Okay. Where's this?
He's a murderer. He's an assassin.
He's on Netflix. Okay. All right. I might actually watch this. That's some code. Right there. Mathematics savant with more affinity for numbers than people. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to see Affleck play this character.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna. So my son will not be home until Tuesday night, so I may actually watch it tomorrow night now that I don't have a chagrin.
Oh, okay. Wikipedia actually, like, breaks the code, like, immediately in their description. Good on them. Okay. He is a certified public accountant with autism, so
awesome.
Who makes a living uncooking the books. This is fascinating. I have to watch this movie. I have no idea what's going on here. J.K. Simmons is in it, John Bernthal, Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Jeffrey Tambor, John Lithgow. Jesus. Okay. The only thing I think that's even worth noting and it's not that much to worth noting, I guess, as I watch Wonka finally. And oh, I did watch Poor Things. I forgot about that. Brandy and I watched Poor Things like sometime in the past like week or so. Which I thought was really good.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
You know what my response to that movie was?
What?
Fuck this fucking movie, fuck it forever. And then I turned it off. I hated it. Like, with more passion than I can express.
Yeah.
And I only got 10 minutes into it, and it made me so angry in its pretension, and I hated everything about it. I think it's exactly why movies are dying, is because of, like, that shit. So, I'm glad you enjoyed it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you are not a fan of modern cinema, like modern, like kind of film. It's becoming apparent, like over time, like that it's like the idea of like the art house type stuff that you somewhere there's a break, and
some of it I like, but it ain't there,
right? No. I understand, like, if you only lasted 10 minutes, like I get it. Like, I was like a little like reticent in the first probably 15-20 minutes, but once the actual story started like moving forward and stuff like that, like, and like actually like started to play itself out in a little bit more like reasonable way, like, and you just kind of got used to the world, I thought it was enjoyable.
There's plenty of modern cinema that I like. Don't.
No, well, you won't watch most of it. So, I mean, like,
I have fallen out of interest in seeing pretentious fucking wankfest film school graduate art house bullshit. Like, I'm tired of it. I don't think it's interesting. I think it's boring. And I think that it, like, is the reason why people don't want to go to the movies. Like, nobody wants to see that shit. I mean, good, whatever.
It depends. I mean, on what they want to see and stuff like that. I mean, like, there's some of that stuff that they do, and there's some that they don't.
The first about... that movie is one of is some of the most pretentious shit ever I've seen committed to film. The camera angles, the imagery, the fucking techniques, I don't like all of it. I did not think I could sit through another like 2 hours of that. Mm-hmm. So I just stopped watching it.
Yeah.
And I'll never go back and watch it again. And I don't care.
Right. Wonka though, god awful. I did follow your chagrin rules, and despite like at some point an hour in, I thought I was going to have to stop. But I hate everything about that movie. I think if anybody, I don't think I could actually like talk to anybody in any kind of reasonable way if they liked that movie. It makes me hate Shyamalan, like even as a A-lister, it makes me hate him even more because I don't think he's an A-lister. And here's the thing with him. First of all, that movie just sucks, and the songs suck. There's like one song that has potential, and I was so annoyed by that point that I didn't give a fuck.
Which song do you think has potential?
Oh, who fuck knows? It was like an hour and a half into the movie.
Is it the 17-minute scrub song?
No.
Yeah,
not that one.
Forever.
It's not that. I fucking hate everything with fucking Oompa Loompas and shit. Like, you know, I hate like the retconning of all that kind of stuff, even though I don't give a fuck about Willy Wonka. Like, maybe that's controversial. Like, the original movie, like, I'm not one of those people that like watched it as a kid a lot and like loved it and like grew up on it. Like, I can respect Wilder in that, but I don't give a fuck about that movie. And I was still upset by the way that this movie handled stuff as a prequel. But it sounds like I hate this kid, and I don't. I don't like this kid as like being thrust upon people as an A-lister. That's what I don't like. And he just signed the exclusive first look I saw because, like, you know, Dune 2 and Wonka like did like bank. and they're going to try to like push this kid as an A-lister. And I think he does really well in certain roles, and I think he lacks fucking charisma to actually be able to carry a movie like this. There's nothing that makes me want to watch him necessarily. So it's like things in Lady Bird, I think he nails that role. There's other movies. I thought Little Women, I thought he was like good enough in, right? Like,
but, I really like that movie.
But I don't think he has the charisma to like carry these movies. And I think like overall, like it's like you think about like A-listers of the past, you know, whatever, 40 years or something like that, that like largely we grew up with. Tom Hanks, right? Does he have what Tom Hanks does? No. Right? Like, he not even close. Like, you know, it's like, and they all have their own unique gimmicks, like all these like A-listers. But it's like, he doesn't even have the, like, and look, I'm not like the biggest fan, but I don't like hate the dude, like, as an actor, but he doesn't even have like the, that kind of like low-key narcissism, like charisma of Tom Cruise. Like, he just, it's, there's an absence. Like, of, like, any kind of, like, sustainable characteristic or trait in that kid. Like, and it's just, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe he'll be able to pull it off in some way and find something about himself. But it's, like, you look at somebody like, God damn it, Spider-Man.
The Flyer?
No. No! No!
The other one, Tom Holland.
Toby Maguire. Oh my god, like, don't get me started. Toby Maguire is worse than the Sean Lee's, like, fucking 80 times better than Toby Maguire in anything. Tom Holland has more like depth and nuance and like an actual trait, even if that trait is like kind of like oddly, like, you know, sensitivity and kindness or something like that, that he kind of like brings out. Like, he has a trait that, like, I think, like, could possibly put him in the A-list. I just don't see any actual trait of Shyamalan, like, that puts him near that conversation. Like, he's not the top bill. Like, and I thought it was a weird and phoned in almost feeling like role, and I think he was trying. And I think that movie as a whole was trying to, everything was about having fun, and somehow it stripped all fun out of it by like always trying to be fun and stuff like that. And ultimately I thought there was no fucking point to the movie. Like, I haven't disliked watching a movie that much in a long time.
I'm glad you feel that way, because I hated it.
Yeah. But I did like Poor Things, so I don't know how Wonka has such high scores. I don't get it. Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, at all. Like, whatever, the world's run amok, like all of it. Too much, too much division, all around. Like,
simply look around and view it.
Yeah, but okay. I got angry, like, here, talking about fucking Shyamalan and his bullshit. And then I guess I have Dune 2 probably. I guess in another like month or two, I'm sure will be on Max. And
oh yeah,
to look forward to. Although I do believe Dune 2 will be better than Dune 1 probably overall, because I just have a feeling that's probably going to be the case. Because there will at least be some shit happening, in it. But
oh, you can pre-order Dune 2 right now, bonus X-ray edition.
What the fuck is a bonus X-ray edition? Oh, is that Prime, like the X-ray thing?
Yeah, how much do you think it costs to pre-order Dune 2 right now?
$40.
It's only 30. Okay. Only, I say.
Right. Pre-order. Well, I mean, like, the other $10 is the X-ray, right?
Yeah.
Do you ever look at the X-ray?
Me?
Yeah.
By accident, sometimes when I bump my remote and it like bolts it on.
Right.
And then I get super annoyed that I made that happen, and then I have to try and like get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, I end up backing completely out of the movie I'm trying to watch. And then I get really like annoyed at myself, and I just call myself a stupid fucking failure.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Under my breath.
Yep.
Because, yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. I don't know if I knew that you did that kind of stuff. Maybe you've referenced it like before, but to me, but I do that shit all the time. Like I'm constantly just like, God, you're so fucking stupid.
Yeah, mine is idiot.
You right? Fucking, yeah. Uh huh.
What the fuck, idiot?
Stupid. What are you doing, Chris? You're God's yeah. Like yeah. But that's the interesting thing. You never had anybody that told you that stuff, right? Like as a kid.
That I was dumb?
Yeah, or like that you like you're a fuck up or anything like that?
Yeah, like other kids did for a
while. Oh, okay. So you, it was like peer based. Okay.
It wasn't until when I was in ninth grade, like I guess everyone realized that I was like super smart and then mm-hmm. it changed. But before then, like people would always because whatever, I was like awkward as a kid. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So you internalized like early peers' voices during developmental stage, interesting. Yeah, I mean, like, my shit's, like, you know, like, just internalized, like, from childhood, like, that I just, like, take it and ran with it, and it's, like, there's, like, a voice in my head that's, like, completely self-critical, like, of any kind of mistake, like, at all.
You know what's not gotten good reviews is the new Godzilla movie.
Minus One?
No, Godzilla X Kong.
Oh, I'm not surprised. by that. Yeah, not surprised.
That actually comes out on Blu-ray soon. I'm excited. Mm. I'll be purchasing that movie on Blu-ray, sight unseen.
Is it sight unseen?
I have not watched it yet.
Okay. It's a weird phrase now that I think about it.
How else would you like me to say it?
I don't know. I suppose you're right. It's just a strange phrase the more you think, like you actually think about like that phrase.
I mean, it has not been seen by my sight.
Because it's like a product, right? Like that's what I guess I hear that referred to as like a product as opposed to like a movie. And I guess the product is the actual content of the movie, not the DVD. Like, you know, I get it. Like,
here's a movie I could have watched where you just stuff it in your fat fucking face. Let's see how much this costs. Oh, this is $4.99. It's called The Taste of Things. It came out February 9th. France, 1889. Simmering passions between a master chef and his longtime partner bubble over in this sumptuous award-winning period love story. What fucking award did it win? It's French.
It's actually showing Wilmington right now. You can go watch it Saturday at 1 p.m. In Wilmington, Delaware.
I could just watch it for $5 in my house right now.
Right.
Yes. Except I gotta get up in the morning. It actually looks really good.
It was shortlisted for best international feature at the Academy Awards. It won Boston Society best cinematography at Boston Society of Film Critics. It won 3 French awards. It won the Palme d'Or.
Oh, nice!
And best director at Cannes. So
there is a movie that I think looks amazing that I'm gonna give it like a month and see if it comes out for free anywhere, but I can't find what it's called now. It's like some woman's name. Hold on, let me see if I can find it.
Verona.
No, I just made that shit up. No, that really is her name. Zone of Interest. How much is that to rent? Is it dropped yet? Oh yeah, $5.99. I'll watch that this weekend. I don't know what it's
there,
called.
Don't worry about like the I'm sure there's got to be other food categories on the wheel, like you'll get around
I'm
to
sure there is
we the did taste of things
food chat for a million years,
right? Sure.
This movie it looked really interesting. I watched the trailer.
The Woman's Name movie?
Yeah, but I can't find it. Oh, that Drive Away Dolls movie looks like it has some potential too. Did you see that?
Nah.
That's the Joel Cohen movie.
Oh no, I did see a trailer for that. Like it was a teaser trailer a while back though.
Saw X, there's a lot of potential there. Wah, wah.
Mm. We will become intimately
involved
with that movie soon enough, I suppose.
This is really bothering me.
Yeah, I haven't actually watched any trailers like in the past week, I don't think.
I've been watching a bunch.
Yeah.
The new Romulus trailer looks good. I kind of marked.
There's another one?
Yeah, and there's a new Long Legs trailer too that looks really good.
Mm.
And I think marked for that.
Is it giving more away yet?
No, it's honestly it's not super different than the previous trailer. It's just like a couple of different scenes that it focuses on and whatever, but it's just generally the same. Drugstore June, that's what it's called.
Hmm. I don't know about that one either.
Yeah. It's I don't know anything about it, but it looked pretty funny to me.
Okay.
After the pharmacy in her small town is robbed, a girl who still lives at home with her parents takes matters into her own hands to solve the crime while at the same time trying to get over her ex-boyfriend and become more of an adult. It actually looked like kind of a funnier version tonally of Kid Detective to me.
Oh, okay.
Like mm-hmm. just some idiot who's kind of like trying to solve this like crime where no one wants them to be involved in solving the crime.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll watch this someday.
Yeah. all right. Well, next week we'll, I guess, potentially end up, there's got to be other like fucking
Boston. I got two on a watch list. No. We're watching Sandler movies. I got two to watch
now. Oh, all right. That's fine. That was the intent anyway. So, but yeah, we'll be back with Adam Sandler movies then next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Deuces.